Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I know who not to ask.
Yes.
I go down the schedule. If I need a day off or a switch or anything, I'm like, nope.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
That's my guy.
I don't even want you going down that list. I'm on that speed dial. I tell everybody, I'm like, I want to be the first person you talk to. If I'm already working, I'll see if I can pick up 2 stations.
And that's the hustle. That's how you get to be known, the guy. You don't do that by accident.
No. I want that reputation, and I'm building it. It's a PhD in beast mode.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we're talking about the best of both worlds. The seasonal waiter.
Boom.
As a seasonal waiter leaves for greener pastures when the slow season is in his town, here to share his experience is Kyle D'Elia. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny D'Avilla.
What's up, people?
Welcome, Kyle.
What's up, guys? How are you? Man. Thank you for letting me on the show.
Oh, no problem, man. I mean, similar to having a beach house and a ski cabin,
yeah,
it's the best of both worlds, the seasonal waiter. And so, unless you live in a place like Vegas, mm-hmm, or maybe you work at Disney, where it's always busy, yeah, always high season, most of us experience some kind of ebb and flow.
Yeah.
Like a high season, low season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, we're in our high season.
We are.
And that shit is getting shorter and shorter every year.
I pick up today. Today's my day off. These kids don't know.
Oh, man.
Car is broke. I'm like, nah, station one. Yeah. I'll work it.
Yeah. Getting it.
I love it. So, I mean, I told everybody, I was like, I work a lot there. And mm-hmm, I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, this is not work for me. I'm like, I love it here.
Okay.
Being a seasonal server even comes back to it because you experience so much. And then when you come to a place that you have a love for,
mm-hmm,
you take all you can get. Yes, I'm selfish with it.
All right. Let's unpack that for a minute because you love where you work.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to say where you work, but you love where you work, and that makes a difference. So how does that work out, before we get into the seasonal thing, mm-hmm, right? How does that, you know, affect, Danny tells me you're picking up a lot of shifts, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it does relate to the seasonal thing. Okay. So when you go away for that seasonal thing, you're kind of locked in. If you do your homework, which I think most people do, you're not really going to a place that's not in season. Mm-hmm. They go away, people have different seasons, summer to, you know, our winter. But you get there and you're in a new place, you're in a new place you're living, and you're in a new place you're working.
Okay.
So when you check off those boxes, you're there. You can't just have a bad experience, you can't just not show up for a shift, you can't just, you know, think, oh, I don't want to be here. You have to be there.
That's an interesting point because it's not like you have your home base,
yeah,
where you're like, I can chill out with mom and dad for a, yeah, minute while I figure out what my next move is.
Absolutely.
Screw you guys, I'm going home. You are locked in. You got to pay that rent,
yeah,
or at least your share and things like that. And
it gets worse. Sometimes the housing is set up with job. So you lose a job, you lose the housing.
You're backing
up the car that night. I've seen it happen. Very much. Oh, very much so. Because, you know, you have these seasonal people that come out there and they're not from there. They've never been there. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to look for housing there. And in some places, like the place I go to, it's extremely hard to get housing. So you have to try to get all the help you can get.
So you liaison with the actual place and...
Oh, yeah. A lot of times I kind of don't because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out the first year. But yeah, I mean, I've... Even at the house... So if you have a great job, everything's going great at the job, you have a mishap at the house where you get kicked out, you lose your job too. It's a vice versa. It's the same thing.
That's
really.
You better be on your P's and Q's for those 3 months you're there, and that's all. It's all about seasonal work. You know what I mean? People are out there to work. You know.
I'm glad you're here because I've always wondered about it. Yeah. And tell me what area. Tell everyone what area is your second.
So I got the. I never even knew about Martha's Vineyard.
Okay.
And Martha's Vineyard is one of the Twin Islands off the coast of the Cape, Massachusetts, primarily. Mm-hmm. They're part of Massachusetts State. The Twin Island from Martha's Vineyard is Nantucket. We've all probably heard about Nantucket.
Yeah.
It is a little bougier, more cobblestone streets, more colonial pillars in front of houses, American flags, that kind of thing. And then there's Martha's Vineyard, where it's a little bit more chill and down to earth. And there's a saying between the two islands, the worst day on Martha's Vineyard is still better than the best day on Nantucket.
Wow.
And they say that a lot. And I was like, I don't really care either way. Like, I'm from South Florida, man. There's no competition here and there. Sometimes you'll jump on a ferry, check out the other island or whatnot, but yeah, it's just what it goes on up there.
Plus, it's a matter of perspective.
Yes.
A lot of times people complain about something, I was like, this
ain't that bad.
This ain't bad.
I mean, I had no problem with either island. I just kind of, someone told me about Martha's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. I was at a time in my life where I was able to do this jump, and it was kind of a funny thing altogether because she was a seasonal server up there. She's from down here, and born and raised and was served from down here. She said, you should really try to go up there. You do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was considering it, and then I decided, okay, I'll do it. Can you give me a job? Give me a house? Oh, hell no. You're on your own. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, what did you just sell me? The dream, and then told me to go work for it? I'm like, what was that about? She's like, yeah, no one helped me. I was like, so what do I do? She's like, there's a handful of things I can give you advice for, but you were on your own. And it was actually a good thing she did that, too.
I agree, because it's almost like when somebody asks me about, oh, is your place hiring or whatever, it's better for them to make their own bones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then if I have to maybe put in a kicker, I didn't sell the dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They bought what you were selling,
and
I just kind of put a little stamp on it.
I've also been a believer of that. Like, if you can't get this job on your own, and I have to help you, that help's probably going to continue while you're here, isn't it?
Yes.
And then when something goes wrong, and then this and that, and like, we've learned that, you know, get friends a job. Most of our friends we want to hire will get hired on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And if when they get that, we're proud of them, and then they reflect better on us, you know?
That is a great point. And so we're in South Florida, and our season is generally, well, what used to be, it'll be busy, not busy from November, but it ebbs and flows November, December.
It's slow summertime until winter.
Until the holidays.
Yeah, until the holidays.
And then it dips again in January.
For a little bit, but then it's full on.
Full on till Mother's Day.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Wild ride. How do you deal with, okay, my original point is, so a lot of seasonal waiters that I remember would go from here to the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a popular trek. And I knew a guy who worked with us at the old, he did the Hamptons, and then...
Yeah.
Was he
a busser in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a seasonal busser.
He was a seasonal busser. That's how good the money was.
See, look at that. And he probably worked only just to go up there.
So he was very deceiving because you could make snap judgments about him and think that he wasn't very intelligent or to think that he didn't have his thing going on. But what he would do was, and I have no idea how he organized this, he would have this trek every
year.
What would be every summer,
yeah.
Right? And he'll leave. He would organize the housing to the point where he would have enough people in the house where his rent was free.
Yep. And the way they do that is they fill the rooms at a certain price. Now, when you get to housing and seasonal work, it's kind of like it's the Wild West. You could have a house, and they have rules about this when the landlord's involved and that kind of thing. You can't pack in too many people in there.
Okay.
But they will. If they have that control, they will.
Yeah.
And then the rent just kind of gets watered down so much that they don't have to pay.
True.
Your rent's like $60 a month. I mean, he might be paying like $40, but I mean, what is that? You know what I mean? That's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. You know what I
mean? And so if you're comfortable with just having, you know, a twin bed in the corner and one little dresser, which I've been there, I've done that, you know, that's what it is, you know? I mean, I've seen even worse conditions than that. No AC. That little bed, sometimes it's just like a sleeping bag, and you're making good money. You know, that's what it is. I mean, some people come from different, you know, climates and different situations where that is a good situation because
True.
It's not that far from what they're from, and they're making triple, quadruple the amount. you know. Plus, you're working so much, you can't spend the money. So you're even saving even more.
It's almost like working on a cruise.
Yeah.
Actually, I think cruises are worse. I tried to explore that one time, and I was told there's a reason why they hire so much people from different countries is because their pay is less. And their pay is less in international waters where they can get away with it.
Yeah, they fly an international flag, so the labor laws are different.
Yeah,
wasn't saying it was a cruise as far as advantageous.
Oh, hurt.
I was talking about, like, it's a cruise where you don't have time to spend your money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to work on cruise lines, and my mom was like, no, you don't. And I was like, what do you mean? It would be great. And it's just, there's, you know, they can't, they have their own sun decks. They have to stay away from the tourists. They cannot intermingle whatsoever. Everything's on cameras. The pay is not that good. It's an experience. You get to travel, but I was told not to do that. I mean, I still would love the work experience because I want to try to get that sense of adventure, but, you know, it might just go as far as just like a yacht or a boat or something like that.
True. And those are still work, but those have a different vibe. You know, you're much more intimate with
you're intermingling with the guests. You're intermingling with all those people.
Oh,
We know a good amount of friends that are like, but not yachting.
My whole family's all yachting.
Stuff like that.
I'm one of the only ones who is in the industry per se and hasn't... left land, and I will. I just haven't yet.
The cool thing I think about the yacht life is that when you're on a cruise ships don't pull up to the nicest places.
Yeah, mm-mm.
It's always like a part of town that relegated to having this port or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
These yachts are
pulling up wherever they want.
The best of places. Yes. You know, you're in the Greece and these islands and and you're eating. They don't have slop on these things. Oh. You might be eating after them, they've been served.
And half the time you're cooking for them anyway, so, you know, you're cooking
without
and all
a doubt.
That. So, you know exactly what's going in there.
Yeah, there's advantages. And I've, so tell me about how some of the disadvantages. I mean, we know, okay, let's talk about the advantages. You said, you don't have time to spend the money, so you're going to be making a lot of money.
You make a good amount of money.
Okay.
I mean, for the most part, where I was in Martha's Vineyard, it's a very family-oriented. So there are a lot of young kids, college level, kids getting fresh out of high school, even in high school. And the place I was at Nancy's in Oak Bluffs. And it was a great spot, family-oriented. So we did have a lot of younger kids, which also translated into these kids wanting time off. Then you had the older adults who were serving, and they're like, I'm here to work. Like, they will give you one day off. I've worked all 7 days before. I work more down here comfortably than I do up there, because up there it's a lot of work, and I'm making the money already, and I need you need to have one day off to get some laundry done. You know what I mean? And sometimes you do have to drive and travel to get groceries and this and that, and it's not as
because you're on an island.
You're on an island.
You have to get off the island to get supplies.
Yeah, it's difficult to operate sometimes, so you have to have that one day. And you know, they have a lot of these kids who want this time off, and they're seasonal work up there. So what happens is because of the weather change, they will shut down, and it's another part we'll talk about soon. But you have so much time to make profit, and you don't have that much time to work, and then you have people who wanting time off. Within that 3 months, it's a difficult, you know, it's a difficult glass of water to fill, but, you know, they do it for them sometimes.
Yeah.
Me personally, I go up there to work. So I'm not taking time off. I'll go up there to work. And that's the best part about it is you are building towards a month off. So I work 6 months down here from pretty much, you know, maybe December, so 7 months, all the way up until when they open up there. Work a full 3-4 months up there. And then as soon as it kicks down, they close down. September, October, these are months I have to myself.
Okay, now, I was just about to ask you about the timing. You mentioned the first half of the timing, the 6 months that you work here. Mm-hmm. Specifically, what's your transition like? When is that happening, and what do you have to do to prepare to to button up here and say, please don't fire me, I'll be back.
I always thought that, you know, I could just go and come back, come back. And technically, on paper, what they have to do is it is a full disconnect. I mean, even from that previous restaurant I was at, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention everything. Is it okay?
I mean, it's better not to.
Okay, so that previous place I was at for 7 years over there, they loved the idea. And I introduced it to them, like, I had this opportunity, I want to explore it, but I'm not leaving you guys. My love is here. I'm here for you guys. I'm loyal.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, go. You're fine. We'll take you back on the wing. No problem. And I didn't know how long I'd be gone. Once I got that time frame down, they were like, hey, it's a full disconnect. It's not really, it's a me putting my 2 weeks and then them honoring the promise of bringing me back in when I come back. And they did honor it. No problem. You know what I mean? It became a push and shove kind of thing because you are seasonally serving now. You are seasonally working. So it's not fair to the people who stuck it out through the tougher months.
True.
You're not just going to come back and walk into the best shifts. True. Unless you really got it in good with them.
Yes.
And I've seen that happen before too, but I wasn't given the opportunity and I said, no, I'm happy to, you guys are taking me back. I will work my way up.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that comes down to your work ethic. If you're a great worker, they're going to tell you and they're going to bring you back either way.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be hard for you to work your way back up the totem pole. True. You know, I welcome that challenge. Some people will get kind of salty about it and be like, oh, I'm going to just go somewhere else and work my way up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to go through the whole thing again.
Now they know your work ethic. Yeah. You know, like you said, for that, it's a shorter. Yep, maybe like a month.
Yeah.
Month and a half. You got the whack or the shit schedule.
Yeah.
And then you're back to what you used to have.
And then if you do not do that and you go to a new place, you can't mention what you're going to do in the summer. no one's going to hire that. You know what I mean?
True,
I'm
going
to put all this work into you and you're going to leave me in that time frame.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't really, you just don't really go there. You know what I mean? You just don't want to, you don't want to go there in the interview or anything like that.
Okay, so that's interesting. from my experience, not that I've done it, it really depends on the place.
Uh-huh.
Because at my place, they want you uh-huh. to take off. They want you to take vacation uh-huh. because it alleviates the,
oh, in the
stress
summertime, absolutely.
Of the summertime,
yes.
Having all and these servers and mouths to feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are we going to make... So people leave. People go. They go ahead, take the break. Because we're dead in the summertime. So that just leaves... They don't want to be bare.
They don't want to be naked.
Bare,
yeah.
But it really is advantageous. So then the seasonal workers mm-hmm. do have an advantage of where I am because they don't have that thing. Now, now where the issue is, no restaurant wants to be a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Right?
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So whenever you have another restaurant job or even another job, they act different.
They really do.
They really look at you differently.
Yeah.
And so I've told people that say, oh, I'm going to pick up a job. And this just happened to a guy. He's been there well before me.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say his name. And he picked up another restaurant and then the schedule started to get different for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he really... In effect, you just fired yourself because once your schedule starts to change, the milk starts to sour.
Yep.
So you start to pick up more over there where you know you can,
and
you're less available when they feel like getting you, and then it's just like...
And that's down here when you have two competing restaurants where they're right next to each other. I would say, you know, it's different. I can't really go up north real quick if I'm not working this week down here, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
True.
But yeah, I've definitely seen some change in attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're a hard worker... They're not going to want to lose you, but you know you might still see some change. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. You learn and you live and you keep on going.
How do you handle management? Because I think that I can only imagine one singular manager could be cool with it, and mm-hmm. in his mind it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
And then while you're gone, some other dude.
And what you're hoping is that's your guy who makes your schedule.
Or that continues to be your guy when he moves on or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
You got to massage a whole other thing.
A whole new plot.
Yeah.
You'll be scheming before you even know you're scheming.
Yeah.
It's for me personally, it's a loyalty thing. So if I notice that they're loyal to me, I'm going to be loyal back.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't just walk into any old restaurant and start applying and working. I don't do the whole put out 10 and see what you get kind of thing.
Yeah.
I make a target. I go in there, I eat there, and I it's reconnaissance. I want to see if there's a manager who's drinking on the job. I want to see if he's going to slip up and be rude to his staff or anything like that. Because that'll trickle down right to you. You know what I mean? I'll go in there maybe two or three times to make sure this is where I want to go. Measuring volume, checking the staff. If the same staff are in the same stations for three nights in a row, you know that there's a lot of seniority there that you're not going to be able to break up.
We are going to do a show on how to get a waiter job, right? You touched on some notes that I've built on that. Do you mind joining us for that?
Yeah. Oh, all right,
cool. Yeah, stay tuned for that. I mean, that's really, really important because one of the key points of getting a job is doing that work and not just relying on, oh, do you make money or things like that? Because you can make money almost anywhere.
True.
It's how you make the money that matters, how they treat you, how you're, you know, what kind of situation, what kind of shit show you may or may not have to deal with.
And everybody's shit show is not for them.
Thank you. Because it's going to be a shit show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a shit show everywhere you go.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of which show you're willing to watch.
Yeah. I would go more to what you're willing to shovel.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If the place that you work at is not a shit show, A, you're not going to be making money.
Exactly.
And B, you're not going to be there for very long because it's going to be so stiflingly odd to button down things that way. You need to be on that edge of chaos to make money.
Yes.
You need to be on the edge of like, I don't know if I can handle this. Otherwise, if you can handle it, it's just going to be like, anybody can do this.
Yeah, I hope I'm not working next to him. I'll handle it. Give me that. I'm good. But I kind of laugh now because you get new hires and they're like, oh, you'll be able to pick up shifts. And I'm like, I'm like, nah, not if I'm over here. I'm the shift ninja. I'm like, every employee here knows who they can call in an emergency, in a bond, 5 minutes after. If they're late, call Kyle. He'll pick up the shift. He already has it. He already picked it up.
We need people like you.
Yeah, oh, love
I'm telling you.
Oh, at my job, it's like, I know who not to ask.
Yes.
I go down the schedule. If I need a day off or a switch or anything, I'm like, nope.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
That's my guy.
I don't even want you going down that list. I'm on that speed dial. I tell everybody, I'm like, I want to be the first person you talk to. If I'm already working, I'll see if I can pick up two stations.
And that's the hustle. That's how you get to be known the guy. Do that by accident.
No. I want that reputation, and I'm building it. It's a PhD in beast mode. I told like some other employees and they're like you're the first person to call. I'm like, so what's up with that Friday night shift? I'm not giving you that. That's my one or two shifts a week. That's my money making shift. I'm like, all right, but if you don't feel good in any type of way, you just let me know. And they will say no 2,000 times. But that 2001, she's like, all right, you want it? I'm like, yep, give it to me.
Now teach everybody how to pick up a shift, right? Because in my mind, you can't ask too early. When the schedule comes out, everybody has aspirations of working.
That's another thing, too. When that schedule comes out, you got to be checking on that app.
Okay.
Because what are you doing? I don't want that. Give it up. Well, if it's sitting there for two days, it's marinating. Someone could see it. And I've been there and done that where I saw a shift I wanted and I had a plan that day and I was like, I got to change the plans. And I hesitated.
Okay.
And then I went.
It was gone.
And then I made the decision. I'm going to pick it up. We're good. And it's gone. And I'm like, oh man, I missed it. And of course I'm kicking myself, but you know what I mean? I don't want to be, I'm trying to hustle hard. I got goals. I've got things I got to get done.
Okay.
And I want people to know there's a guy who will do it. And now, you know what I mean?
And do you take that mentality on both sides, up and down?
I do. Because when I go up there, it's a loyalty thing. So if they're bringing me back every year, I want them to know they're going to bring back someone who's going to be willing to work.
Okay.
Now it does come down to a little more psychology. People will be like, I've had people, I'm like, they're like, oh, can you pick up the shift for me? I'm like, yeah, release it. Okay, yeah, I'll release it in a little bit. And they're like thinking about it still. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? It's like, am I picking it up for you or not? Yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow morning. I'm like, No. I'm like, you just asked me to pick it up. Like, yeah. I'm hunting for that period of time.
Yeah.
If someone else comes along.
You might be SOL.
I'm not going to be like, oh, well, she's still deciding. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Make a decision. Because I know if I don't want to work a shift, it's getting released and I'm trying to get it picked up.
Yeah.
It's a decision. But they want to see what they can get. And it's like, yo, you can't, it's, that's not going to happen.
Play both sides of
the
coin.
Yeah.
So how do you get them to sign on the dotted line?
You have to push. You're going to make you, you have to make a decision. We have when someone's making a decision about food, they have to make the decision, but I have to tell a chef to make you something. I mean, the burger or the filet, you know what I mean? What do you want? I'll tell you so much about both of them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're holding up everybody else right now. Because I can't just, we can't go back and forth. It's not, sometimes it'll be like, hey, surprise me. That's a different story. But I mean, we got to make a decision. Okay. And I want to make a decision. And that's actually where I'm going to set myself above from the rest. You can make a decision. I tell people they can make a decision last minute now. I've had people do it. Hey, do you want tonight? When I'm supposed to be walking out the door. Yes, I do. Don't even come in.
Wow.
Don't even come to the city.
You are the man. Because if I'm picking something up, if you ask me to pick something up, you got to give me
mental.
Three, four hours.
But see, his mental is already in his mind. He's already working.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
He flipped the mental. Remember we talked about, I think we might have talked about this before, but you know, we had to be prepared for working double or be prepared mentally to work our schedule. Now. Yes. Okay. Kyle's in beast, and like he said, beast mode. So he's already prepared in his mind that he's working this whole week. This, the only day he wants off is the day he's going to go play golf, and that's it.
Yeah.
Everything else, I'll pick it up.
Sometimes even that day, I'll schedule for at night.
No. I can't have fun before work.
Yeah.
I can't have fun before work.
It's tough. As far as like, you know, if I'm going to go out, you know, to the bar, drinking, anything, like that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at golf, if I can, like I did it like the other week, I actually had one of the most intense 10-day stints I'd ever done. And it was 10, 11 days. I think the 11th day I had the day off because it trickled from Saturday, Sunday. Then we started the new week.
The new schedule.
That whole 7 days, I was working every single night. So it was 9 shifts in 7 days. Mm. Then the new schedule came out. I was still working the following Monday. I didn't get off until the following Tuesday.
That's a lot.
Oh, it's a lot. It was catching up to me a little bit. That's why I'm kind of taking it easy now. And I don't want to like sleep through an alarm and be late for a shift or anything like that. I don't want to do that. But I mean, going above and beyond. And like, I did that. And they were all great shifts. And it was so funny because the Saturday night double, I was with Danny right next to him. And that was what I was working up towards. Every night was good until that double. I was ear to ear smiling. I was like, I can't wait. We're going to grand slam this. And it died.
It was
at
weak.
8 o'clock.
It was steady.
I couldn't believe it. I even told the guy I picked the shift up from. I was like, because I picked up another shift from him. I was like, you're 2 for 2 now. I got both your shifts. They were great shifts. And you missed nothing. I'm like, I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
And he's laughing. He loved it.
I want people to make money when I'm not there. Like sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
you want to do it for a reason.
Yeah. I want them to make money. It's like, because then sometimes they feel like you knew.
Yeah.
You knew you weren't going to make any money.
There's no way you could have told this though. This is Saturday night. This is in prime time. I mean, it's a fluke.
Yeah.
The crazy part is like every shift before that was great. So maybe it was just a balance, you know, the ebb and flow, you know, kind of thing. But I do think it was kind of funny. I was like, and then I picked up his closing shift, another great shift during the week. And the same thing. I just had, he was kind of hit and miss with the money. I still made a little bit. For me, it's always going to be a profit. I can go in there and make $50. It's $50 and a half.
I tell people, ain't no money in my couch.
Yeah.
I got to be in the building.
That's right.
And so you're a bit younger than I am, so your hustle is real. And mine, I'm just like, I'm not willing to do it. But almost foolproof, it failed me one time. The way that I would get shifts and then getting down to the wire when no one will give me a shift, I'll show up in my uniform.
Yes, that's
how. And I'll walk around and tell everybody in their face, I'll go like this. Hey, man, you're cut. And then they're like, what? You serious? They say, yeah, you can go home. You know? And just having them hear those words, because your cut is like whispering dirty nothings into somebody's server's ear. And so I go like, hey, man, you cut. And they're like, oh, man. It's like, yeah, I got you. And then they've lit. It failed me one time. I felt like a failure. I'm like, how good?
How did it not work?
Rejected.
How did it not work? I was
walking around out in my uniform.
I was ready to go.
And I got two things for that because it goes both ways. That's a great technique, by the way. Mm-hmm. I probably won't go that far, but I have gone as far as making sure that you have to be an. There's a lot of cards in the deck. Be an ace. Be the one that the managers want on the floor. I want a manager looking at my station and be like, I ain't got to go over there. He's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
And
true.
So I bring that work ethic when I'm there. Danny sees it. So it's not just me picking up a bunch of shifts. You got to make sure you're a good, great worker.
Yes, and that's like,
I will.
Kyle's
the kind
of guy like, if I don't give up shifts, okay, we mm-hmm. know, everybody knows that's one of my things. Kyle's always used, yeah, but no, I'm not giving that shift. But if I were to give it to somebody, it would probably be somebody like me because I want to make sure that I didn't give my shift and they'd be like, it was they drop the ball in my station.
Yeah. Because you're in a particular station or maybe closing.
Yes.
And then now you have a potential headache.
Yes.
And so the managers are most likely to prove it because it's Kyle, mm-hmm. because you're replacing him with an equal.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
So you come in. That's. You make sure your stuff's all perfect. Your uniform's perfect. You're not only on time, but you're early.
Mm-hmm.
You got a smile on your face. You got great energy. You're ready to go. Manager's been now looking at everyone's coming in at nighttime. Who's showing up not dressed and pressed? Who am I going to send home? Now, this really doesn't happen where we're at now. It happened in other places where you had to be creases and you had to be ready. And if you weren't ready or you were 5-10 minutes late, that person might have been 5-10 minutes late the last 4 days.
Yeah.
And manager's like, Kyle's here. If you are late, you are not working tonight. And guess what? I'm working. And that's the way it's at. And like, it's a dog-eat-dog world, man. I am not there to make friends. I'm there to make money. No, if I make friends, memories. It's great. But at the same time, like, I want to work. And you're making it easier and easier for me. You know what I mean? It's just the mentality I have right now. It hasn't happened at this place in the last, like, 5-6 months. But I have had managers where I had to work. And they say, okay, if you show up ready and dressed and pressed and someone's running 30 minutes late and they've been doing this consistently – I'm not letting them work that night. You're here ready.
Boom.
You're in.
I remember now, I almost forgot that I worked with you. And one of the things that struck me when you said, you know, dressed and pressed and all that stuff, not only is he put together, he rolls the tightest roll up I've ever seen in my life.
Ninja Silver. Yo, I found the picture. Remember the tower to the roof? I found that thing. It was 2015.
Send it to me.
And so that's another thing too, is like, I learned that lesson at my very first serving job when I was 18 years old. I worked a double on Sunday, and I ended up closing that night.
Mm-hmm.
And my manager was sitting at the bar, and he was just like in some type of mood. And we're cool. We're boys. But he looked at one roll-up. He pulled it out. He's like, what is this? Go roll the rest of them. And it was only like 50. It wasn't even a lot. But I was so mad. I was so tired. I just thought to myself, you know, this is on me. I was like, it was imperfect, and I knew it, and I try to pass it. Okay. And I was like, now every single one I roll will be the most perfect thing you've ever seen. And it's kicked me in the bat in the behind before, because people are like, yo, we're doing a commercial, we want you to roll all the silver. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, come on, bro. I was like, you gotta pay for that. But yeah, I've done that before. That same restaurant too. So yeah. I rolled all the silver for them, and it was all on the tables when they were doing the thing. I got to be in the commercial.
That's
cool. Yeah.
It was kinda cool. But yeah, I mean, and for the most part, you know, it'll make you stand out a little bit. But you know what? I learned that way, and then there was another restaurant I was at was very team oriented, and they taught me how to 3-cup carry. Now I can 5-cup carry.
Okay.
And I took these skills with me, and I went to other places, and you start seeing people looking at you cockeyed. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? You're gonna know who I am.
But all right.
Well, my mentality was is like, I don't want to be like get people turning heads, because I'm not trying to make too many enemies where I don't know who these people are, but I want to work hard. So then I thought about it. I'm like, so you're going to untrain yourself just to fit in with the rest? Nah. I'm like, I'm not downshifting down to second gear because you guys can't get up to sixth.
It's no, just, you can never do that.
That's what I kind of battled with. And I was like, I'm not trying to walk around cocky. And I'm definitely not trying to walk around like my stuff don't stink. My stuff does stink. But I've learned the lesson, and I've learned the process of making sure I do better. And I've gotten to where I've gotten. And I'm getting jobs. And I'm getting shifts. And I don't want to... And I don't want to, like, you know, make people look bad, but people are going to make themselves look bad.
Absolutely.
And that's just what it comes down to.
That is true. That is well said.
What is the question so we can wrap it up after it, my man?
Yeah. I want to know if you're the Kyle of your job.
Okay, you know what I there mean? It like, is.
I want to know if you're the one picking up shifts and hustling, or if you're the one giving it up to Kyle.
Yeah.
Because it ain't me no more. I only did it when I had a goal. I'd say I have a weekly goal. I want to make 1,200 this week, or I want to make, you know, 600 this double, or whatever the case may be. These are just random numbers. Don't judge me either way. Mm-hmm. But I work best when there's a goal.
Yeah.
To get.
Goal-orientated.
Goal-oriented, for sure, for
Kyle's
sure,
definitely goal-oriented. We're not going to say he's not, because obviously he has a goal. That's why that's why he's pushing it to the limit.
That's why he's pushing it to the limit. I do want to get you on this other show. And, if you do enjoy this content, the perfect way to help us out is to like, subscribe, or pass it on to a friend. Hit that share button. And let them know that you listened to the Modern Waiter podcast, and it was pretty cool. There we go. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Appreciate it.
I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villains, the Scribe, Scribe, Scribe people.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.